And all God's people said, wow, let's pray. Father, if we just think about those songs, that you are a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And we are loved by you. That's who we are. Oh, your character, your nature cements who you are and how you act, even when circumstances don't seem to line up with that. You cannot act in a way outside of being a good, good Father. And oh, how you love us. Father, you love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to demonstrate that love on a cross. While we were yet sinners, you demonstrated that love. And you forever reign. Why would we want to run anywhere else but into your arms? And so, Father, I pray that as we're standing here before you, that maybe there's something right now that we're thinking about that we are not running to you because of, or that we are running in a different direction. Would we even right now, as we stand here, confess that to you? Say, God, I'm not going to run in that direction anymore because you love me so much and you are good. And you will receive us with open arms. Father, I pray that I'm not sure we even should move forward today, because I feel like we should just leave. This is it. Nothing matter we can accomplish today than those words. So God, would you please continue to speak to our hearts today. Comfort those who need comforted. Exhort, encourage us. But may we just not forget the truth of what we just heard and say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. No, I'm not going to skip the sermon. Just that was a momentary thing that came over me. We're not going to do that. We are so glad that you're here today. If you happen to be a guest of ours, I didn't see anybody come in, but I don't always watch that well. So if you're a guest for the first time and didn't get a chance to stop by our Welcome Center, so want to point out to you that we have this little connection card. Or if anybody wants to give a thought, a comment, prayer request, you can fill that out, tear it off, and drop it in the offering plate as it gets passed in a minute. So kids, we're going to let you head back to junior worship. Thank you so much for all the volunteers who help out with that each and every week. And we're going to go ahead. We don't have any sort of special stuff or recognition stuff to do today, so we're going to jump right into our offering time. So if the ushers could get ready with that, we would appreciate it. And Isaac, if you'll put up my offering thought. I don't have a scripture for you today, but we're going to be talking about open doors today. And that idea that, how do you know if it's God that's opening the door? What does an open door really look like in our life? And what does God want about that? And so we're going to be talking about the idea of direction. You know, should I walk through this door? Should I not walk through this door? So you know, offering is part of our lives, right? It's part of who we are. It's a command for us to offer everything that we have to this Savior that we have, that we follow. And so just asking you this morning to reflect, how does your offering help you follow the direction that you believe God has for you? You know, it's something that is intended to further and foster our relationship with Christ, right? Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, that we aren't to give grudgingly or out of necessity. And so it should be something that fosters and grows our relationship with this great God that we talked about. So as Nikki plays, as the offering plates are passed, whether you put anything in or not, would you think about, how does my offering help me follow the direction I believe that God has for me? Thank you. you, Nicole. Thank you very much. Okay, today, part three of Heat of the Moment. Today, do you have direction? So let me just kind of, if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, let me catch you up with what we've been talking about. We've been looking at the idea that what do we do when we face heat of the moment moments? So if you're following along in the notes, what do you do when the heat is turned up in your life? What happens when situations, circumstances, decisions arise in your life that cause you to need to do something that might be difficult for you to do? And so we're going to look at really five different aspects of this. And so far, as a bit of review, we looked at something from the life of Abraham when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And we asked the question, what happens when God tells you to do something and you're not sure you can do it or that you should do it? And then that happens, I think, to us. What do we do? God, really? You sure? Is that really what I'm supposed to do? But what's going to happen down the road? And we talked about the idea of trusting God, trusting in the promises of God, and then simply putting one foot in front of the other. So taking the next step, even though you don't know what the future looks like. And when we take that next step, then typically God will help us to take the next step, and we just go day by day by day, or decision by decision, not worrying about, well, what is this going to look like 10 years down the road? And then last week, we talked about persecution from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 3. And they faced the fiery furnace because of their faith in God, because they refused to disobey God's commands. And kind of boiled this down to, are you and I committed to trust who God is no matter how things are? So his character and nature, is that what we're going to trust in no matter what the circumstances are like? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced getting thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, hey, king, look, we're not going to bow down to your idols, and God can save us, but if not, hey, it doesn't matter. All right, we know who he is, and no matter how things are, and of course, God miraculously, supernaturally saved the lives of those three men. So today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different, something that we all face all of the time, and that is this. When you see an open door, how do you know who has opened the door? Right, we use this in sort of, this is one of the Christianese things that we use, right? We talk about an open door, right? That God has opened a door. And it probably moves beyond just Christian lingo, but I think it really comes out in Christian lingo that, well, God has opened a door, or a door has been opened for me, and so therefore I'm going to go through and I'm going to go down this path, or this must be what I do, what should do, because the door has opened for me to do that. But I maintain that God can open doors. But I think other things can open doors too, right? I think Satan can open doors. I think that other people can open doors, sometimes well-intentioned, sometimes not so well-intentioned. How do we know whether we're to walk through the door? Now, I'm not a horror movie person, but I've seen trailers of movies at the theater, and you never have that scene where it's usually a child or a woman sitting in a dark room, and that music is going on in the background, you know, the violin and the cello, and then all of a sudden, the wind is howling, and all of a sudden, a door opens, right? The door just pops open. And what do they always do? They go through the door. And I'm in the theater screaming, don't go through the door! Don't go through the door! Just because the door is open doesn't mean you have to go through the door! Don't go through the door! Stop! So I don't like horror movies at all. I don't like to be scared. Just because a door is open doesn't mean you have to walk through it. You don't know what's on the other side of that door. Stay in your seat. So what does it mean to go through a door? Or what, when we say an open door, what are some things that we could be talking about? And maybe you're right now, you're thinking, okay, yeah, there's this decision, and maybe it's about a job, right? A door could be a job. That a new position has opened up. Or somebody has offered you a promotion, and it came out of the blue. You weren't expecting it. And it's like, wow, this must be an open door from God. But I don't know, is it really? Maybe the promotion means more hours. Maybe it means more travel away from your family. Maybe it means moving to another part of the country that maybe it's not a good... Again, see what I'm talking about? It could be a job. It could be something that comes up. And how do you know whether I should go walk through that door or not? It could also be a relationship, right? Well, you know, they introduced me to her and, you know, I don't know, maybe this is an open door. I wasn't really looking for a relationship, but this relationship fell in my lap. Maybe it's an open door. Maybe I should go ahead and pursue this relationship, or he, or whatever the case may be. So, God, how do I know whether this is a door that I should walk through. I mean, some people even get married after blind dates, for crying out loud. Right, Jonathan and Jana? But how do you know? And actually, I didn't think about you guys when I was writing this sermon, but I probably should have. How do you know? How do you know whether this person is really a door, a person that I'm supposed to have a relationship with? How do you know that the job or the promotion is something that I'm supposed to go with? How do you know? You can't just evaluate it based on, like, money or something, right? That can't just be the whole thing. It's like, well, it's obviously more money, so that means that God wants me to do it. No, come on, we know that might not necessarily be true. So how do we do this? These are heat-of-the-moment moments. We're not getting thrown into a fiery furnace. It's not that. Maybe it's not really something that God is asking us, or we're reading in the Bible, and we're going, I can't possibly understand how I could do that. This is just simply a decision. So a door is really an opportunity for a decision. How do I make this decision? Is this a door from God, or is it a door from someone else? Because who has opened the door can mean the difference between victory and sometimes disaster. Right? I realize, I wish I'd never taken that job. I wish I'd never moved far away. I wish I had never done that. I knew it. I knew I was going to be working with some people that were shady ethically. But you know what? I just came out of nowhere, and so I walked through that door. But now I wish I'd not done that. Because who opens the door makes all the difference in the world. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about this guy named David. All right, a man named David faced an important decision about an open door. And many of you are familiar with David, King David from the Bible. And so he faces a couple of open door situations that I think are really interesting to talk about. But if you're not familiar with his life, let me set this up for you. All right, so David was the shepherd boy. The prophet Samuel comes to David when he's still watching the sheep, and he anoints David to be the next king of Israel. Now, Israel already has a king. His name is King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. And you might know David from David and Goliath. David slays the giant Goliath with the 5 smooth stones. And, of course, his popularity rises. His Q rating goes off the chart, okay, in that particular day. And so everybody loves David. Not Raymond, but everybody loves David. And so if you only knew how many stupid jokes go through my head when I'm standing up here on a Sunday morning, I'm sorry. So everybody loves David. He is just the cat's meow, right? And that begins to cause a problem for King Saul. Now, King Saul doesn't know about David being anointed king, and David isn't parading that information around. In fact, I'm not even sure he's really telling hardly anybody about it at this point in his life. I'm not even sure he really understands what's about to happen. Saul gets insanely jealous. Jealousy to the point where he tries to kill David. And so as we pick up David's life now, David is on the run from King Saul. Saul has tried to kill him, has continued to try to kill him, has bands of soldiers out there trying to find David and his merry men. He has amassed hundreds of men who have traveled with him, who are on his side. And there are 2 particular times where David has an opportunity to take the life of King Saul. One of them happens in a cave, kind of a bathroomy situation. I didn't want to talk about that one. But the second one is what we're going to talk about today. And I want to read the scripture and see if you can see the open door here. All right? So let's read this. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 25. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. So David is overlooking the encampment of Saul and his men who are out there to capture David. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. So Abner is the commander of the army of Saul. Now Saul lay within the camp with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head, and Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to him, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time." So they have snuck their way into the camp. and they are standing right next to King Saul, who is sawing logs, sleeping, with his spear standing right next to him. They have made their way through there. Abner is sleeping, the guard is sleeping, whatever happens, they're in there. And do you see how this looks like a what? This is an open door. David, you're the rightful king of the nation of Israel. Saul has no reason to persecute you. You are not trying to take his throne away. He is trying to take your life, and God has opened the door. And Abishai says, I just need one shot. I will not have to strike him a second time. Just you say the word, David, and he's a dead man. Do you see how this looks like a what? It's an open door. It's an open door. He's right there. I just got to take him out. He's an evil man. He's been trying to kill me for months. Does David walk through the door? Some of you say, shaking your head no, because you know the story. Let's go on. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away. No man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Okay. This actually is an open door, but it's not the door that most of us think about. We'll get that at the end, so hang on to that. The Lord had opened the door here, but it was for a different reason than what Abishai thought. Abishai thought this was a door for us to kill him, and you can become king. So how did David figure this out? How did he know? I mean, wouldn't it have been so tempting to go ahead and take him out? He's been trying to kill David. He's not a good king. He's not leading the people very well. David's going to do a better job. There are other times later now in David's life where God gave David direction to take the lives of people, but not this particular time. So here's some things that I want to kind of mull about this particular story. David did not walk through the door because he had no direction from the Lord. Right? And it's as simple as that. David did not walk through the door because he had no direction from the Lord. Again, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him. So in other words, God's going to kill him. Or his day shall come to die. Old age, perhaps. Or he shall go out to battle and perish, which is actually what happens six chapters later. He does die in battle. But the Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. I have no direction, Abishai, from God to take the life of my king. And so he doesn't do it. And I think it's a very important decision that he makes. We'll look at that in a minute. But what about you and me? The only way to know what to do with the door is to discern the direction from God. It's the only way to know. There's no real three-step formula, though I'm going to give you three things in a little while to think about. There's no three-step formula to this idea of knowing whether I should walk through the door or not. Now, today is my fifth anniversary here at Buffalo Valley. Okay, so September 1st, 2012. Thank you, Alex. I love you, Alex. You know, that wasn't you? Oh, Connie. I thought it was. God bless you, Connie. Thank you so much. I thought it was Alex. I'd rather hug Connie anyway than Alex, so that works out good. So let me just, not everybody knows the story. Let me just take a couple of minutes and tell this story, because I think there was an open door moment for me as it related to coming here in 2012. So in December of 2011, I came back. My dad was living in Williamsport, and so I came down with two of my kids, because my dad didn't come up for Christmas that year for some reason. I can't remember why, but it's the only year he never came up for Christmas, so he doesn't come up. So we come down to visit and bring a couple of kids with me because, you know, I want to take them to Mifflinburg, show them my high school, show them my old house. You know, that kind of stuff that's absolutely unimportant to them, but for some reason seems like it ought to be important for me to, you know, that they ought to want to know that, but they could care less. So we're in Mifflinburg, we're driving around, and my dad says to me, hey, why don't we stop by Dave and Ruth Haynes' house and visit with them? Now, if you don't know, I grew up here in this church until I was about 11 or 12 years old, and we were great friends with Dave and Ruth and their family. We'd often spend Sunday nights over there eating ice cream and playing cards, all right, playing cards. Not poker or anything like that, but, you know, bridge and stuff like that. So we had lots of fun at their house. They were dear friends of my family. And so I'm like, oh, that'd be great. I haven't spoken to them in 35 years, right? Hadn't spoken to them before. So we go by, and sure enough, they're home. And so we come in, and we start visiting. And in the course of that conversation, Dave mentions that the pastor of their church, and they were obviously still attending here, they're right over there, Randy had left. He had left in, I think it was November. So we were there in December. And so we mentioned that just in the course of the conversation. I don't remember us talking about it. We didn't mention anything else about it. It was just like this here, out the other. We leave. About 6 weeks later, I am sitting on my couch doing my devotions, reading the Bible, and early in the morning, which is the time I typically do it because it's quiet. And I don't hear an audible voice, but I feel that I hear God saying, I want you to go to Buffalo Valley. It's a door. What? I hadn't given that a thought. Never in my whole life. I was in New York. I was happy. I thought I'd stay in New York for the rest of my life. I was there for 18 years. Janet had just gotten her, was getting her 2-year degree as an associate's degree. She was going to go on to a 4-year degree. Kids were different in school. There was no reason to leave New York. Wow, really? So I'll go on the website. Okay. It's a little different than what it was when I was there in, you know, the mid-70s or late 70s. Sent off an email to church office here. Church office says, hey, you got to email the district executive. So email the district executive. District executive says, hey, I need a resume. I don't have a resume. I wasn't looking for a job. So I never had a resume in my whole life. So I quickly type out something, send it on. Long story short, come here. First interview in April. I went home and told my wife, we need to pack. I think we're going. Now, you hadn't told me that yet, but I felt like that's what was going to happen. And of course, it did happen. But how do I know that? Like, how do I know that that's an open door? Some of you might be thinking, well, I wish I hadn't walked through that door. But how do I know that that's an open door? Thank you for not amening or clapping or that one. How do we know that? How do I know? The only way to know what to do with the door is to discern the direction from God. Because you can't just simply say, well, so-and-so walked through the door, so this is a similar door for me, so I'll walk through it too. You can't do that. It might not be right. How do you know? In the heat of the moment, you know by discerning the direction from God. All right? So let's talk about that just a little bit more. Some doors are clearly marked, do not enter. All right? Some doors are clearly marked, do not enter. You don't sit down to have dinner and somebody gets up from sitting in the booth next to you and they leave their purse there and you open up the purse and there's like $500 in there and you go, oh, this must be an open door. God has opened a door. And so you take the $500. No. Okay? Some doors are marked, do not enter. And you can think of a lot of examples of that. So no, you don't walk through those doors, even if you think that somebody has opened. Yeah, you just don't walk through the door. It's do not enter. But here's a verse that I memorized as an adult that I really think is important. It's familiar to many of you. It's from the book of Proverbs, right? From Solomon. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, I said there's not a 3-step formula, but here's some things that I think you and I should be thinking about as we're trying to discern the direction or the door that we think maybe God has opened for us. First, just trust the Lord with all your heart, right? Trust him. Trust him. Believe he's a good, good father. Believe that's who he is. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he has a plan for you. And trust it. Might be different than what you think. Certainly my life turned out different. I never envisioned moving back here. But trust God with all of your heart. Say to him, look, whatever door I'm supposed to walk through, I want it to be the one that you want me to walk through. I want the doors to be the ones that you want me to walk through. Trust him. He's like, I don't really know. I'm not sure I can trust God. Then let us help you figure that out. Let us help you with information and revelation from Scripture that will help you to understand that there is a God who really does love you and he really has the best in store for you. Number 2, or second thing, is do not lean on your own understanding. And I think this has a couple of different nuances to it, right? The most obvious one is probably, you know, not just what you understand, but God, right? Lean on God's understanding. Bring God into the picture. But it's also important, I think, to bring other people. We talk about this all the time here, this idea of community. Bring other people into your decision. When I felt that God had given me that direction to come here, I went to three people quickly. Three people that I served. One of the guys I actually served with, I was pastoring a church with him at the time. And I said, hey, I just need to share with you right up front. This is what I think God might be doing. So would you pray with me along that? And then two other people that I went and prayed with to ask them, look, you can't tell anybody about this yet, but can you please pray with me? See, I don't want to lean just on my own understanding. I need God's understanding, but I also need other people in my life. And so maybe you're facing a job decision, or maybe you're facing a relationship decision. And you know what? You know, you're thinking to yourself, but if I tell anybody about her, they're going to tell me to run away. Well, that's telling you something, right? That's telling you something. Do not lean on your own understanding. Helps us to discern. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're right, right? It's all part of the package of discerning. But find people that you trust, people that you know care about you. Bring them into asking, is this a door I should walk through in my life? And then acknowledge God in every aspect, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The way you know that she's the right one, or that he's the right one, or the way you know that this is a door I should walk through, that this is the job, or this is the decision, is to discern what God wants for you. And you can do it. God wants you to do it. You don't want to walk through the doors that God doesn't want to walk through. And he's not the only one who can open a door. Just because the circumstances align does not mean it's the right thing to do. Now, let me wrap this up by going back. I said that God had opened a door. This is so interesting to me. God did open a door here, but it led to a different room than everyone else thought. Look again, verse 12. David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw or knew it or awoke, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. I think that's a door. God supernaturally enabled them to get down there in the midst of Saul, to get the spear, to get the jug of water. And if you go ahead and read through the rest of the story, what happens is that Abishai and David, from a distance, call out to Saul and Abner and say, hey, look, your spear, Abner, you didn't do a very good job. There's a little dig there at Abner, but look, we were down there. Look around, Saul. You know, this is your spear, your jug of water. I could have killed you. We could have taken your life. But we didn't do it. And so the door that God opened wasn't to kill Saul, but rather was to reveal David's heart, was to reveal that David was a man after God's own heart. And I don't believe for a second that this story didn't reverberate throughout the land of Israel. I don't doubt for a second that people saw that. They knew what David had done. All of his men gathered around. Maybe some of them were like, well, I should have just put him right through the heart and we could have been over with. But they knew that David was a man that wasn't interested in vengeance for the sake of vengeance. And I believe that this story reverberated throughout the nation of Israel. And I believe it helped David ultimately to cement the kingdom. And we see this incredible prosperity and incredible joy that happens in the beginning of David's kingdom. Now, he messes up later on, sure. He walked through a door that shouldn't have walked through. Do not enter. He walks through it. But for this point, I think God did open a door. It just wasn't to the room that people were thinking. It was a room to show that he was merciful. So, closing thought. Two thoughts. You can't know which door to walk through without direction. And you won't receive direction without a connection to God. You just can't. You need to stay connected. You have to stay connected. See, I think it was significant for me that the little voice that I didn't really hear but that I felt was from God came while I was doing my devotion time. I remember another time when we merged with the congregation, the church that I was planning didn't have a building, the church was dying, had a building. I was prayer walking one morning on December 8th, and God said, "Why don't you merge the churches, you dummy?" Well, he didn't say the dummy part. But it was because there was a connection. And that was a door we walked through, and it was a wonderful thing for both congregations. But you can't know which door to walk through without direction, and you won't see direction without a connection. Don't walk through this life blindfolded. Stay connected to God. Connect to him through relationship with Christ, and then nurture that relationship, right? Feed that relationship. Read God's word. Pray. Get involved in community with God's people. So you say that all the time. I don't have anything better to say. But I want to encourage you to do it. No connection with God. No direction from him. And you're walking through life blindfolded, never knowing what door you should go through. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you because he's a good, good father. That's who he is. And he loves you. That's who you are. So, if you're in one of those heat of the moment moments as it relates to a decision, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let's pray. God, I know it's not always easy. I know it is not always easy. And there's not a single person in this room who hasn't walked through doors we shouldn't walk through. Who haven't, I know, I have missed many opportunities. I didn't walk through it because of fear, or I did walk through something because of pride. You don't put us on the shelf. You keep using us. You keep creating opportunities, relationships, for us to grow and for us to be ambassadors for you. So God, I pray that if we're here and we're thinking, oh, I have walked through so many doors that I shouldn't have walked through. Father, I pray we would understand there is forgiveness for that. And I pray that we would want to follow your direction. And if in an honest moment we're saying, you know what, there's really no way for God to input into my life unless he's rearranging my alphabet cereal, because I'm not reading his word, I'm not spending time with the prayer, I don't really give God much time, I pray you would change that today. Maybe the change is to get into a Sunday school class today. Maybe the change is to find a small group. Maybe the change is to go home today, pick up the Bible, say, okay, God, here I am. Maybe for some, it's to say, you know, I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Whatever that is, Father, I pray that we would trust and obey. In Jesus' name.